turn with me to book of Numbers. Numbers, chapter 11. Numbers, 11 chapter. Have you ever seen or heard something that looked so true or sounded so true, and then you found out that it wasn't? Remember a few years back when they started talking about the phone being at your ear, and then it was the deadly brain waves that were interfering with your. Now I'm not saying it didn't, but they had videos online that actually showed them popping popcorn with cell phone radiation. It was, you know, people have said that you can pop popcorn with your cell phone or cook steaks with it. And they were all over the internet, YouTube, at one point in time. Is it true? Or is it urban legend? Well, I think if you'll realize how much time is spent this right here, well, and then some of the actions of our young people, then you might think it would be true. But if it's bad for us, if it's true, okay, then it would be bad for us to use cell phones. If it's false, it could be bad for us, because if we believe it to be true, then you might not use a wonderful tool that we have. We call that urban legends. She's not here. Bigfoot's one of them. You know, if you really believe in Bigfoot, then you might not want to spend the night in the woods. You know, those kind of things. Now, in the spiritual realm, there's also things called urban legends. Things that sound true, that go along with a preconceived notion that we may have of God, but turn out not to be true from a scriptural standpoint. And if we just do a little investigation, we'd see that. I can name one right off the bat. You'd be amazed at how many Baptists believe that if you commit suicide, you'll go to hell. It's almost like they have forgotten anything about the plan of salvation. And I happen to know that the plan of salvation is preached and taught in most Baptist churches. But they believe it. And the problem that we with believing something that's not true is that it can affect our actions. The same thing is true of spiritual beliefs. If we believe something that is not true, it will affect our actions and could be detrimental to our relationship with the Lord and the living in this life. So we want to consider these things, these myths or these legends, or, you know, these things that people believe that's not necessarily true, so that we can live in truth and live in freedom. So this morning we're going to consider a statement. God won't give you more than you can handle. Probably heard that. You might even say it. God's not going to give you more than you can. And I've heard well-meaning Christians say this to those struggling through a difficult time. You'll get through this. God's not going to give you any more than you can handle. Now, I know that their intention is to encourage a person, help them through what they know is a difficult time. But there are two problems with this statement. First off, it's not found in the Bible. But it sounds like something you find in the Bible, because in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He'll also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." This does not say that God won't give you more than you can bear. It says He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear without providing a way out. So there's a difference between being burdened with circumstances of life and being tempted of sin. So the statement that God won't give you more than you can handle is not in the Bible. It is a spiritual urban legend. And the second problem with this statement is that it can actually turn out to be a detriment to that person. A person's weighed down with so many things, and you tell a person that God won't give you more than you can handle. What that implies is that you should be able to handle everything that comes up then. Have you ever been in a situation where you couldn't handle it? It was just too much? I have. There are lots of people in life that can't handle problems. Some can handle more than others. But at some point in time, we all have issues that are more than we can handle. So, if you tell somebody they should be able to handle it, and guess what? When they're not able to handle it, guess what they feel like? A failure. That they're letting God down. So we're going to look this morning at Moses in a situation that he faced that was completely beyond his ability to deal with. Yeah, even Moses, he couldn't deal with it. And look at what God does through that circumstance and see that how He may be working in our lives to help us, to teach us, and when we're facing things that we are unable to handle. So let's look at Numbers 11. We'll be looking at verses 4 through 6 and 10 through 17. Or actually 10 through 23, I think it is. More than you can handle. Verse 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat?" That sounds like me yesterday when I was hungry. "Who's going to give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our hole is being dried up. And there is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." Remember what was going on? God was feeding them manna from heaven. Bread from heaven. And they started thinking, "Oh, whoa, it's me. We had it better. We was eating all kinds. We was eating steak in Egypt." And the mumbling and the grumbling began. We get on to verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. And Moses also was displeased. Why was God angry? Because they were rejecting his food that he was sending them. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you afflicted your servant?" Oh. What was happening is it was all going to Moses, complaining to him. He had a problem that Moses could not solve. And so he talks to God, and the first thing is, "Where are you giving me this problem? And why have I not found favor in thy sight that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Why is this problem? I'm fine with the men. And how come they're giving me grief? And how come you're letting them?" In verse 12, it goes on. "Did I conceive all these people?" Think about that. Moses going, "They're not my kids. Did I conceive them? Did I beget them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to the father'? It's not my problem, Lord. Why are you making this my problem?"
In verse 13 he says, 14, where am I to get meat to give all these people? Where am I going to get this food? For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. Am I not able to bear all these people alone? I am not able to bear all these people alone, because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. And I will take of the Spirit that is upon you, and I will put the same Spirit upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Then you shall say to the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it is well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you. Because you have despised the Lord who is among you, and you have wept before Him, saying, why did we ever come out of Egypt? And Moses said, the people who I am among are 600,000 men on foot. Yet you have said, I will give them meat, that they may eat for a whole month. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them? And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not. And of course it did. Don't worry, Moses. You'll get through this. After all, God won't give you more than you can handle. Well, Moses had more than he could handle. It's just so much more that he wanted to die. One of my nephews has a really interesting phrase when he gets to that point. I'm going to shoot myself in the face. But he just gets so mad, he's going to shoot myself. Now, not recommended. As far as I know, he's never done it. But you know, sometimes you feel like that. Sometimes it becomes more than you can bear. God, I can't handle this. Everything seems to be crumbling around me. I can't take it. Maybe your job is becoming so consuming and demanding, and your bosses are expecting more and more from you. Maybe on top of that, you're running a situation at home that requires your attention, like a leaky roof, the yard gets mowed, and here we go again, year after year. Gotta get the rake out. And you gotta rake the yard. And the kids, maybe the kids' activities have got to get to, and top it all off, you got a sick kid, you've not been feeling the greatest either, and you find that everywhere you turn seems to be more demanding. Or maybe the money that you're bringing in isn't going near as far as it used to. Can you relate? Same amount coming in, but the going out is going a lot more. Maybe it's a little harder paying your bills. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom and you're striving to do the best to stretch the limited dollars to make ends meet. You feel overwhelmed and you're not spending more time going to different stores for sales, doing the laundry, the cleaning, trying to get the kids to where they need to be. Top it all off, your husband wants some attention from you too, and you feel like you've got nothing left to give. Maybe some tragedy has happened in life. Maybe your world's changed.
not for the better. It seems like you're trying harder, and nothing ever seems to be good enough. And you just feel like you can't handle anymore. And you just feel as if that there, it just you just have one more thing on your plate. You're going to give them that last nerve and that last thing in your life, and you're just going to lose it. Your life is falling apart. Drugs, divorce, alcohol, greed. Maybe it's your own health. You just can't bear it anymore. And then some well-meaning Christian comes up to you. Don't worry. God won't give you any more than you can handle. Just keep going. But you can't just keep going. You just can't get there. You just can't. Moses could not keep going. He had all he could from the problems that these people had given him. And he got to a point where he says, I don't even know why I worry about it anymore. I got my own problems. And Lord, if you're not going to help, you might as well just kill me. Just take me, God. Let me go now. Because I can't handle it. So the question is, why does God allow us to get to this point? Well, one reason is so that we can learn to carry each other's burdens. Remember what he said? They will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone. I thank God for my church family here. Do you know how many people don't have that support system? Those people who can say, they can encourage you, they can lead you, get you thinking the right ways again. God wants us to carry each other's burdens. In Galatians 6:2, he says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ. Now sometimes we're going to face circumstances and burdens that we are going to need others to help us with. I hate this guy. I know y'all, some of you guys in here, I know you know this. You hate asking for help. I mean, you don't want anybody doing what you should be doing. Sometimes I will struggle. In the past I have struggled with something, and Terry will go, would you call my dad? Would you call my brother? No, I'll take care of it. You know what I end up doing, don't you? I end up calling them. Don't want to, but I have to admit that I could not handle whatever it was I was doing. It was too much for me. I needed help. God has not designed us to be able to handle everything by ourselves. And this is why He wants us to be in community with other people. And when we're in community or church, in relationship with others, we grow closer because we are helping carry each other's burdens. Right from the very beginning, God said, what did He say? It's not good for man to be alone. You know, I'll make a helper suitable for Him. God wants each of us to be in community and help each other carry each other's burdens. For the person that is burdened, however, that implies that you must be willing to allow someone to help with helping your burden. And this is where it gets hard for us sometimes, because we are prideful people. Society has taught us to be self-reliant. And we feel like a failure if we can't do something and we need help. Or someone can do a better job than you can do. We need to repent of that pride. Keep the bigger picture in mind. Allowing someone to help us carry our burdens not only helps us, but it helps others prepare. It helps others prepare for their Christian work. I like other people. I like the idea of helping. Now, helping with the idea of getting reward is different than what I'm talking about. Just being able to help somebody do something that they couldn't do by themselves is gratifying. And it prepares that person for ministry, service. One of the men that Moses shared some of the burdens with leading into it was Joshua. And he would eventually take Moses' place as leader, next leader of Israel. So if we're going to get through this life without being completely overwhelmed and lacking in joy, we got to be connected with others and let others help carry our burdens. Now, I want to tell you that these principles are not only beneficial in the spiritual realm, but probably in every area of life as well. In the business world, sharing the burden and letting others take on responsibilities will allow your work to be better as you can focus on doing the things that you need to do. I have found myself in job situations at times when I was doing everything. And yeah, there were times when it was more than I could handle. And then all of a sudden you find yourself not doing one thing good. And all things mediocre. In the home, get your kids to help with some of the responsibilities. Or in some cases, get your husband to help with some of the responsibilities. Quit looking around. I'm not looking over here so y'all quit. You know what I'm talking about. Bear each other's burdens. Share the load. Help someone in times of trouble. And so one of the reasons that we'll face more than we can handle is so that we can learn to share each other's burdens. Grow in community and church and relationship and grow in their ability to be used by the Lord. Another reason the Lord allows us to face more than we can handle is so that we can learn to rely on God's strength. Verses 18 through 23, in 33, Moses was feeling overwhelmed because he couldn't provide the Israelites what they needed. Where am I going to get enough meat for a month for the 600,000 people? How was that going to happen? Our men. In those cases, we need to learn to rely on God's strength in those situations that we face. Moses has seen the Lord do some pretty powerful things. I want you to remember, right before this, Moses stood with his rod, lifted it up, and the waters of the Red Sea parted. Okay? It's not that Moses knew that God couldn't do it. He had seen God do something a lot more miraculous than this. He'd actually seen him provide the manna from heaven. But all of a sudden, Moses is going, Lord, how in the world am I supposed to do this? Okay, the guy's going, duh. Did you not see what I did a while back? Weren't you there? But he seems to forget that the Lord is strong and that he can rely on him. And we suffer from the same thing as Moses sometimes. Forgetfulness. And the Lord has to remind us sometimes who actually is in control. And it's not us. We need to rely on the strength, God, Lord's strength to do the impossible and to change the circumstance. Or we need to rely on the Lord's strength to work in us to be able to be strong and endure the circumstance. He's not going to take every circumstance away. Sometimes He gives us the strength to endure it that we could not have endured alone. It's important that we remember God's strength. You know, we got to learn to rely on Lord's strength and to help them stand and do the impossible. They know that He can do the impossible, but even if He does not, they can rely on His strength to help him endure. Please don't tell them you can handle it. They can't. I can't. But God can. God can give you the strength to handle it. God is strong. and he wants us to rely on his strength. Doesn't it frustrate you when you're sitting back and you're watching somebody do something and you know that you can do it, and they're sitting there struggling, and you want to intervene and just do it for them? Can you imagine what God is like, what feels like when we're struggling and trying to deal with things in life and everything's overbearing, and we never once reach out to him and say, Lord, help me. And he wants to so bad. He wants to intervene and say, I can take care of this for you. We have to rely on him. And so one of the reasons the Lord allows us to face more than we can handle is so that we might rely on God's strength and not our own. We find the truth of what Paul says when he says, when I am weak, then I am strong. That's what he means. When I am weak and I rely on him, that's when I'm strong. So we recognize it's more than we can handle. But it's not more than God can handle. We can rely on him. And I believe that God allows us to face more than we can handle so that we can prioritize our best choices. You ever thought about that? The story of Martha and Mary. We won't read it this morning, but we see a situation where Martha is completely overwhelmed in what she is doing. And she wants her sister to come carry the burden. Now, Jesus and some of the disciples are in her house. And you know what? I know this is sexist, but you know what women do when it's time to feed? You know, they're in the kitchen and they're cooking and slaving away. And Martha was in there trying to make sure that Jesus got the very best of everything that she could possibly give. Nothing wrong with that. And where was Martha? I mean, Mary. Mary was at Jesus' feet listening to what Jesus was saying. And Martha was overwhelmed with all the kitchen duty. And she got mad at Mary. You need to come here in the kitchen and help me out. So it seems she is doing just what we talked about in the previous 2 points. But the Lord teaches Martha here and us that sometimes it's not that we need to be strengthened by the Lord to endure through a circumstance, or that we need to have others carry some of our load, but that we need to prioritize our best choices of what to do and what not to do. It wasn't what Martha was doing was wrong. It wasn't the best choice. Martha prioritized the best choice of growing in her relationship with Mary. I'm sorry. Mary prioritizes it is better for me to be with Jesus right now. Martha, while that what she was doing was not bad, it wasn't the best. Mary had chosen the better. And Martha could have had that same choice. But that meant she would not be able to do the other thing, the preparations. And that may have upset someone else there, maybe even disciples. She was overwhelmed because of the choice that she made. She was overwhelmed. There are a lot of people overwhelmed today by the choices they make. And what God is saying, make different choices. Make different choices. This is where we need the Lord's wisdom and the strength as well. Not to endure, but to make the best choice of what to put down, what not to do, when we're faced with more than we can handle. For families and society, we have so many choices that are competing for our time. What's the best choice? There are reasons why our churches are not filled today. It's not because we're not proclaiming the gospel. It's not because there's not near as many Christians out there. There are a lot of Christians out there. They make poor choices. They make wrong choices. You know, this doesn't mean that our... What activities are we doing? What choices are we making about our time? If I've heard it once, I've heard it a thousand times. I just don't have time. I've said it over and over again. I don't have time. Lord, life is going too fast here. I need to slow down to help me. I'm overworked, overburdened. Think about choices. Maybe it's choices that you can make to get out of your dilemma that you're in. It's the best choice to be. And then this choice goes all kinds of different directions. Sometimes you can get so involved in church activities that you neglect your family. Sometimes you can get so involved in sports activity that you neglect the church. And you feel like you don't have any time. Well, you need to prioritize that time. Jesus said that Mary made the best choice, spending time at the feet, his feet. It's only when we're living a Christ-centered life, as our relationship with the Lord is growing, we're going to be able to have wisdom to prioritize your best choices. And that growing relationship will be able to rely on the Lord for strength in difficult times, to know what burdens to have others carry, and to know what burdens to prioritize out of our schedules, at least for a time. So the question is, are you here today feeling overwhelmed with the circumstances that you're in? For those who've never made a decision to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, believing in Him and what He's done by living a perfect life, sacrificing the cross, Calvary, dying for our sins, being resurrected from the dead, showing His power to forgive you and your sins. If you've never asked Him into your heart and your life, you need to begin by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the first step. Because honestly, I don't know how you can't help but keep getting overburdened in life. With no relief, no way out, God has made a way for you to live forever with Him. He's made a way for you, a way to get out of this life without being overwhelmed and overburdened, and having the peace that passes all understanding. And that way is coming to Him through Jesus Christ as your Savior. For those who receive Jesus as Savior, and you're facing situations that are more than you can handle, and it is more than you can handle, I want to encourage you by telling you that while God has given you far more than you can handle, it is not more than He can handle. It's not more than He can handle. So today I want to pray for you. For those who need the strength to endure, the help of others, and the wisdom to make the hard choices about prioritizing your life. And I hope and pray that you'll do that today. As we stand in the prayer of an invitation, this will be your opportunity to realize that you can't handle things on your own. That you're going to need to rely on God. And the issues and the problems and the trials of life, the things that are overwhelming, that you just can't handle anymore, you need to give it all to God. Give it to Him today. Say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you will. So would you give it to Him? And if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, it's my prayer, my humble plea today, that you'll respond to the poking of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you will come to Him as Savior. Trust me.